You know you're big when you don't even have to complete the name. You just say Griff, and everybody already knows what that means. Mike Griffith from the AJC's Dog Nation. And news came out last week that Georgia's name and likeness law will include a provision that the colleges, Georgia, Georgia Tech, whoever, can take 75% of a player's endorsement money and redistribute it to whoever on the team. Now, you've already written, Georgia says they're not going to do this, but just kind of give us some details there, Griff, on this whole item.
Yeah, Georgia says they're not going to do it right out of the gate because, you know, the immediate reaction from fan bases and even some people that cover other schools is, oh, my gosh, look, Georgia's got a rule. They're going to, like, yeah, no, Georgia's not going to do that. Kirby's not stupid here. He's not taking any money from, you know, Tom Crane's not taking anybody. Georgia doesn't need to do that. Georgia's financially stable. That rule was made for, you know, some of the other schools in the state. Because, you know, not all the schools are – the real trick to this, the whole NIL is that not all the schools are created equally. So
right.
What you're trying to do is you're trying to come up with a rule that you can apply universally, even though different schools are in different financial situations, right? So at some schools, maybe you want that money spread out because, you know, if you're Miami of Ohio – maybe you only got one player that anybody cares about, right? It's not like you're Alabama and you got a bunch of your own guys and you go around stealing everybody else's best players, right? Some of these other schools, I don't know how they're going to make it. I don't know how they're going to make it, Bill. I mean, I think this is – I hate to use the word super conference, but college football is changing and it's losing its uniqueness, and the lunatic fringe wants, you know, 64 teams in a playoff. They want to turn it into basketball. They want to turn it into a tournament sport. They want guys to get paid like they're professional athletes. They want them to be able to move around like free agents. It's not college sports anymore. Now, I'm not saying that student-athletes, you know, shouldn't be, you know, rewarded money for their name, image, likeness. I'm not saying that they shouldn't have some freedoms, but what just happened with Alabama ripping off Henry Toto from Alabama is just blatant free agency. That kid didn't need to leave. He wasn't in a bad situation. He was the star of the program. I mean, it's not like, you know, sometimes you look and go, well, sometimes it's good for a kid to go somewhere else where he has an opportunity. That's not what this is. It's not going closer to home. This is exactly what Nick Saban warned us about, and he told everybody. There's going to be guys that don't want to come to Alabama. When it happens, I don't want to hear y'all complaining. He said it 3 years ago when Jeremy Pruitt was up there saying, we need to have these transfers because you got the Alabama center. And, you know, I transferred from MTSU to Alabama back in the day, and we need to do this. And Saban said, why am I the bad guy for saying we shouldn't do this in the SEC? He warned everybody. Nick Saban warned everybody. He said, hey, guys, this happens. They're going to want to come play for Alabama, too. He told everybody. So nobody needs to be blaming Nick Saban because Nick Saban was the guy that said don't allow these guys to play right away in conference transfer. He was against this. But now that you've made the rule saying that this can happen, don't get mad at him for taking advantage of it because he warned everybody.
Griff, locker rooms can be a very delicate ecosystem. And even at a place like Georgia or Alabama or Ohio State, where you've got resources, plenty of them, not everybody's going to get the same name and likeness value. There's going to be differences. How will locker rooms adapt to this? Because there are going to be people, even Griff, if they're not very good and not playing much, there are going to be people with their feelings hurt.
Yeah, I mean, same way coaching staffs have adapted to it. It happens in baseball already. Softball. Not again, I know Nashville doesn't have college softball because Vanderbilt doesn't care about their – but anyway, I won't go down the show. It happens in baseball when different athletes get different shares of scholarships. You know, baseball, not everybody's on a full-ride scholarship.
Right.
They have to give out partials. And certain positions get more money, right? And it's going to be the same way with football. You know, the quarterback, the running back, the guys that touch the ball – you know, those guys, the corners maybe, an occasional star defensive lineman, the five-star prospects. To me, that's what's really interesting to me because we already see a little bit of bias in coaching. Sometimes coaches will recruit a five-star guy I'm going to give you an example that hits close to home, and I know Georgia fans won't like this, but Zamir White was the number one rated running back in the nation when he signed Georgia. Georgia's still trying to convince people that he's the number one running back in the country. He doesn't even register in the top five or six, and he's not the best on his own team. But he's going to keep starting because he was a five-star. And I don't know what promises they made, but they're going to keep trying to show you how great he is. You know, they're going to try to get him that 1,000-yard season. Ain't happening. You know, and if he was a three-star, he wouldn't still be starting. So I see that all the time. You see five-star guys start, and they get put in the lineup right away. Did they really earn it, or was that part? And then another part of it is where they come from, right? You recruit a guy from South Florida, you better start him, because if you don't, you ain't going back into that high school again and getting another one. So there's a lot of politics already. So here's my question. If a guy's got a big name, image, likeness deal, let's say he's got a five-star signee and five-star running back, all right, and he comes into camp and he's not the best guy, and he doesn't start, what's going to happen to that name, image, likeness deal? The kids are going to have a tough time with this because they're going to have deals in place. They go, wait a minute, coach, I got to say, man, I don't care about your name, image, likeness deal. You know, now these companies that marry themselves to these products, they better start. You know, what if Kelly Bryant back in the day had a name, image, likeness deal? He took Clemson to the playoffs the year before, and he's got a deal in place. He gets beat out by Trevor Lawrence. What happens to Kelly Bryant's name, image, likeness deal? There's a lot to this. There's a lot of complications. This is going to add a lot of layers of management and also enforcement. I mean, think about this. I had Dick Vitale on my show last night, and he brought this up. We're 5 years removed from the FBI investigation into college basketball. 5 years. And there are still coaches coaching, getting players that were essentially indicted. 5 years later, they're not done with it. Can you imagine the mess that's coming with NIL money? How in the world is anybody going to enforce this? They're not. It's the Wild West.
Well, and there's a little note, too. And the one-time freebie transfer rule, it says you cannot tamper until the player's name is in the transfer portal. And the player and the new coach have to sign a document that swears they did not tamper. Good luck enforcing that, because we know that's a big lie. But Griff, back to name, image, likeness, etc. There are three levels here that we're going to be dealing with. Number one, you have state by state. We were just talking about Georgia. And all these different states do not have the same rules either. They may be somewhat similar, but they can all have their little addendum to name, image, likeness. It's not a uniform thing state to state. They're all individual states. Okay, that's one level, the states, Griff. The next level is Mark Emmert said, we're going to have and we're going to need an NCAA rule, hopefully by July 1. So you've got an NCAA rule, which may not necessarily match up with what each state has in their documentation. Then, Griff, you have congressional elements to this, because I know they're probably not talking about this today, but there is a movement in Congress to get this passed as a federal law. So you got three different levels, and I guess, Griff, all I'm doing is adding to your suggestion, this is a big mess.
Well, the states wanted to get out in front of it, and there was a rush. Everybody wants it to happen now. They saw it as an advantage to the politicians tried to rush it. People trying to, can you imagine that? Politicians trying to gain favor by stepping out of line. Huh, how about that, right? So the politicians tried to rush this to gain favor in their state, and they got ahead of truly what's best for the sport as a whole. You know, because what's best is that, what's ideal is to try to have a level playing field. But I think that war is over. I think it's done. I don't think there's anything level about it. I think if one school's got a $180 million athletic budget and another one's got a $40 million athletic budget, there's nothing level about that. Those facilities aren't even close. Those recruiting trips, those recruiting weekends, you know, the amount of money the kids can get, you know, cost of living adjustment money. I mean, this concept that kids are walking around with nothing in their pockets is a bunch of bull, first of all. Right. But the question is, how much should they get? And people say, well, you know, the coaches get ABC. Okay, well, there's guys on that team that don't even play that are getting paid. money, college money adjustment money, right? And it's not the same for all sports. Football guys have full scholarship. Baseball and softball don't. That's not fair. That's not fair. Why do we do it, though? Well, because they make more money. So, yeah, so don't tell me they're not making money or, you know, having, you know, support there. Where in other sports truly don't get track and field. Look, it's not equal already. It's already a bit of a mess. And the NCAA has lost control. The NCAA no longer has control of this thing. It's out of control, man. And I don't know where college sports is going. I really don't. To me, it looks like a world where the rich get richer. It looks to me like the bigger, stronger, better programs are going to be the ones in position to better, you know, take advantage of these rules and understand how they can manipulate these rules. They have more resources to put into these rules. You know, the gap's going to get wider. I think the last NFL draft, there was evidence of that. I truly believe if Justin Fields would have played in the SEC, he would have been drafted higher. Because he dropped all the way to 11 because they said he didn't know if he'd get to the second or third read. Because in the Big Ten, he didn't have to. Because the first guy was always open. And what happened when he wasn't? Well, Northwestern happened, okay? So that level of competition, and now you add in the name, image, likeness, all right? Bill King Show, Nashville, SEC. Love you, Bill. But if you're in Topeka, Kansas, you don't got the same listenership. But you're in the heart of SEC country. I'm a sports writer in the SEC because I want to cover college sports. If you're going to do that, this is the place to do it. So name, image, likeness falls in line. You're a college football player, guess where the demand's going to be? Guess where the money's going to be? It's going to be in the SEC. You look at the NFL draft, look who had the most players drafted. Again, you look at who wins championships, look at the track record of who's won the most college football championships. Look how many times the SEC appears in the championship. You want to win championships? You want to make more money with name, image, and likeness? You want to get developed more for the NFL? SEC, SEC, SEC. The SEC is only going to get stronger. Well, the schools that care. Some schools don't put anything into their facilities or athletes. But the schools that do, the Georgias, the Alabamas, the Auburns, the Tennessees, the Floridas, Texas A&M, South Carolina. These are some well-heeled, well-funded programs, and they're going to benefit greatly.
Griff, down to about 2 minutes. Karen, who is an Aggie, says, ask Griff about Nick Williams leaving Georgia for A&M.
Yeah, it's another great pickup for A&M. I mean, you know, A&M's got great resources. They can throw the bank at you. I mean, they've spent $74 million on Jimbo Fisher. He hasn't delivered yet. You know, I wonder when they're going to start getting a little antsy down there. You spend $74 million on a guy, you want to see him at least go to the championship game, right? A&M still hasn't done that. Isn't that amazing? I bet Karen's shocked. I bet if we asked Karen when A&M and Missouri joined the league, if I would have told you Missouri would go to the SEC championship game twice before A&M had even gone, she would have never believed it. I certainly wouldn't have believed it. Has A&M been a disappointment for the SEC? I think a little bit. They've had some great players, you know. I was really disappointed they didn't get in the playoff last year. I'll tell you what, that was a dose of reality for those Texas A&M fans. Because the Aggies now, they ain't taking a backseat to anybody in their mind. They got that stadium down there. It's unbelievable. They got the $74 million coach, right? And Notre Dame loses 34-10. And gets into the playoff the next week over A&M. They haven't lost in 2 months. How ridiculous was that? That's a reality check for you, man. Hey, Texas A&M, you ain't that big a deal. Hey, Georgia had a reality check a couple years ago. Right? Oklahoma, they giving up 40-some points a game, 108 in defense or whatever. They took them over a Georgia team. The only loss came by 7 points to Alabama in the fourth quarter. So there's a little dose of reality for a couple of these programs when it comes to the cred. I mean, Notre Dame, man, Notre Dame packs a punch, Bill. And them getting picked over A&M, that was a shocker. But to Karen's question, Nick is a very well-liked, promising young coach. This is one that's got a lot of people in Athens scratching their head. I don't know if there's a backstory, But this is one that a lot of people are surprised that Georgia let Dick Waves get away.
Griff, we'll see you next week, sir. Appreciate it.
All right, man.
There's Griff. You hear that right there? That's why you want Griff on your show.